Going to this. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and we are doing something a little unusual tonight. Cord cloud. There we go. We're taking up the second half of this meeting to start a new paper. So this is at the Feast of Tabernacles, and I don't have the page number on this, but it's the one right after the one we just finished, 161. This is 162. 1788. Thank you. 1788. Pam had the number there handy. So let's get started and get right into it. See, it rearranged my screen, so I'm going to take it by the screen. Rodney, you're up next.
Okay. Paper 162. At the Feast of Tabernacles. When Jesus started up to Jerusalem with the 10 apostles, he planned to go through
Hang
Samaria.
on, hang on, Ronnie, for a second. Let me explain what's going on to Stephanie.
All right.
Stephanie, we finished paper 161 and we voted as a group to go ahead and start paper 162. So if you had your book open or anything like that, that's where we are. We're starting paper 162.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead,
Mark. I should point out he goes up with 10 apostles because Nathaniel and Thomas are still with Rodin.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when Jesus started up to Jerusalem with the 10 apostles, he planned to go through Samaria, that being the shorter route. Accordingly, they passed down the eastern shore of the lake, and by way of Scythopolis, entered the borders of Samaria. Near nightfall, Jesus sent Philip and Matthew over to a village on the eastern slopes of Mount Gilboa to secure lodging for the company. It so happened that these villagers were greatly prejudiced against the Jews, even more so than the average Samaritans, and these feelings were heightened at this particular time, and so many were on their way to the Feast of Tabernacles. These people knew very little about Jesus, and they refused him lodging because he and his associates were Jews. When Matthew and Philip manifested indignation and informed these Samaritans that they were declining to entertain the Holy One of Israel, the infuriated villagers chased them out of the little town with sticks and stones.
I guess they said the wrong thing.
Yeah. So prejudice was alive and well, right? Could
they
you
must have been
imagine
it and everything.
chasing the creator of the universe out of the town with sticks and stones?
Yeah, but they didn't know.
No, they didn't know
They
that,
were
but
ignorant.
You know, you never know who you're entertaining, do you?
Right.
You know, kind of like the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, then the guy entertaining the angels, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go on to the next one. I'll take the next one because I'm next in line. After Philip and Matthew had returned to their fellows and reported how they had been driven out of the village, James and John stepped up to Jesus and said, "Master, we pray you to give us permission to bid fire come down from heaven to devour these insolent and impenitent Samaritans." typical response, right? Okay. But when Jesus heard these words of vengeance, he turned upon the son of Zebedee and severely rebuked them. "You know not what manner of attitude you manifest. Vengeance savors not of the outlook of the kingdom of heaven. Rather than dispute, let us journey over to the little village of the Jordan Ford." Thus, because of sectarian prejudice, these Samaritans denied themselves the honor of showing hospitality to the Creator Son of the universe.
I'm sure they're still paying for it.
I'm sure they are too. I'm sure that's not a nice place to live if it's still there, you know? All right, Gary, would you take the next one, please?
Okay. Jesus and the 10 stopped for the night at the village near the Jordan Ford. Early the next day, they crossed the river and continued on to Jerusalem by way of the East Jordan Highway. Arriving at Bethany late Wednesday evening, Thomas and Nathaniel arrived on Friday, having been delayed by their conferences with Rodin.
Okay, so they eventually caught up with them, right? And
Mm-hmm.
joined them again. All right. Pam, you're up next.
Okay. Jesus and the 12 remained in the vicinity of Jerusalem until the end of the following month, October. About 4 1/2 weeks, Jesus himself went into the city only a few times, and these brief visits were made during the days of the Feast of Tabernacles. He spent a considerable portion of October with Abner and his associates in Bethlehem.
I'm sure he trained many of Abner and his associates while he was in Bethlehem with them.
Yeah.
Now, do y'all remember what the Feast of the Tabernacles is?
No.
In October,
The gathering
Yeah,
of
it's like a gathering of the
fruit and
fruits of the
wheat and
harvest. Yeah.
harvest.
Yeah, kind of like a Oktoberfest, that sort of thing. Right.
Wasn't Abner the leader of the followers of
Church
John,
of,
that
yes, he was. He was the head of the John's apostles and ended up becoming the head of the church in Philadelphia. And that's the only church that really stuck to the original message of Jesus about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. So if it would have been the basis for all the Christian churches, we would have had the real gospel in the churches right now. There wouldn't been any sacrificial lamb thing, right? Okay.
Is there anything that we can see today of that Church of Philadelphia?
Well, there's supposedly, I don't know about the Church of Philadelphia, but I know there's still remnants of John's apostles down in near out where Alexandria was. They still go by the precepts of John. But they did not accept Jesus as the Savior. So they didn't teach Jesus's gospel. They taught John. Okay, that's the difference. Now, the rest of them that went with Abner taught John's gospel. I mean, Jesus's
Jesus.
gospel. Okay. Let's see, who's up next? I think.
Diane hasn't read.
She's next. She's,
Or
yeah,
Stefan.
she's up next.
One, the dangers of the visit to Jerusalem. Long before they fled from Galilee, the followers of Jesus had implored him to go to Jerusalem to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom in order that the message might have the prestige of having been preached at the center of Jewish culture and learning. But now that he had actually come to Jerusalem to teach, they were afraid for his life. Knowing that the Sanhedrin had sought to bring Jesus to Jerusalem for trial and recalling the master's recently reiterated declarations that he must be subject to death, the apostles had been literally stunned by the sudden decision to attend the east of the fe excuse me. Feast of Tabernacles. To all their previous
Entreaty.
entreaties that he go to Jerusalem, he had replied, "The hour has not yet come." Now, to their protest of fear, he answered only, "But the hour has come when I well."
Okay, so they totally wanted Jesus to go to Jerusalem and proclaim with power that he was the Son of God and that sort of thing. They didn't realize until this very moment that if he went to Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin was prepared to arrest him right off the bat. And if they would have, it would have entered his, it would have ended his mystery almost a year early. Okay, so that's why he was very careful about what he did here, right? So that he could get more time with the congregation, that sort of thing. All right, Stephanie, would you take the next one?
During the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus went boldly into Jerusalem on several occasions and publicly taught in the temple. This he did in spite of the efforts of his apostles to dissuade him. Though they had long urged him to proclaim his message in Jerusalem, they now feared to see him enter the city at this time, knowing full well that the scribes and the Pharisees were bent on bringing about his death.
All right, so they finally figured out that since the Pharisees were trying to kill him, that it was not a good idea for him to go to Jerusalem, right?
But
All
I think Jesus at the same time was kind of saying, "Here I am."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Let's see, Rodney, I think you're back up again.
Okay. Jesus' bold appearance in Jerusalem more than ever confused his followers, many of his disciples, and even Judas Iscariot, the apostle, had dared to think that Jesus had fled in haste into Phoenicia because he feared the Jewish leaders and Herod Antipas. They failed to comprehend the significance of the Master's movements. His presence in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles, even in opposition to the advice of his followers, sufficed forever to put an end to all whisperings about fear and cowardice.
Okay, so he boldly went ahead and did what he felt was right, didn't he? So he kind of put everybody in their place about, whether he was afraid of everyone. During the Feast of Tabernacles, thousands of believers from all parts of the Roman Empire saw Jesus, heard him teach, and many even journeyed out to Bethany to confer with him regarding the progress of the kingdom in their home district. So it gives him an opportunity to find out how the gospel is spreading throughout the different areas. All right, Gary, would you take the next one? Gary?
You're muted, Carrie.
Excuse me. There were many reasons why Jesus was able publicly to preach in the temple courts throughout the days of the feast. And chief of these was the fear that had come over the officers of the Sanhedrin as a result of the secret division of sentiment in their own ranks. It was a fact that many of the members of the Sanhedrin either secretly believed in Jesus or else were decidedly adverse to arresting him during the feast when such large numbers of people were present in Jerusalem, many of whom either believed in him or were at least friendly to the spiritual movement which he sponsored.
So they were really afraid of an uprising in their believership, weren't they?
Yeah.
You know, because
Because.
just looked it up. This is in October. This basically, well, yeah, it just said it was in October. So it took them 6 months from this period till Easter to do their deed.
At least 6 months, right? Okay. Yeah.
Approximately.
All right. Because we still have some tours to do yet, right? Okay. Pam, would you take the next one, please?
The efforts of Abner and his associates throughout Judea had also done much to consolidate sentiment favorable to the kingdom, so much so that the enemies of Jesus dared not to be too outspoken in their opposition. This was one of the reasons why Jesus could publicly visit Jerusalem and live to go away. 1 or 2 months before this, he would certainly have been put to death.
So if they would have come earlier, they would have just arrested him and killed him, right? All right. All right, Diane, you get a long one there.
But the
Vicious.
audacious boldness of Jesus and publicly appearing in Jerusalem overawed his enemies. They were not prepared for such a daring challenge. Several times during the month of some of the s several months, several times. I need to go to bed. I'm sorry. No, I can do it. Several times during the month of the Sanhedrin made feeble attempts to place the master under arrest, but nothing came of these efforts. His enemies were so taken back by Jesus's unexpected public appearance in Jerusalem that they conjectured he must have been promised protection by the Roman authorities. Knowing that Philip, Herod Antipas's brother, was almost a follower of Jesus, the members of the Sanhedrin speculated that Philip had secured for Jesus's promise of protection against his enemies. Jesus had departed from their jurisdiction before they awakened to the realization that they had been mistaken in the belief that his sudden and bold appearance in Jerusalem had been due to a secret understanding with the Roman officials.
Okay, so that
You're muted, Roger.
I said they left him alone because they thought he was being protected, didn't they? Okay, if not, they would have went ahead and arrested him on this time through. All right, Stephanie, would you take the next one?
Only the 12 apostles had known that Jesus intended to attend the Feast of Tabernacles when they had departed from Magadan. The other followers of the Master were greatly astonished when he appeared in the temple courts and began publicly to teach, and the Jewish authorities were surprised beyond expression when it was reported that he was teaching in the temple.
So it was a big surprise to them, the fact that he was just there, right? All right. Let's go to the next one here. Rodney, would you take the next one?
Although his disciples had not expected Jesus to attend the feast, the vast majority of the pilgrims from afar who had heard of him entertained the hope that they might see him at Jerusalem. And they were not disappointed, for on several occasions he taught in Solomon's porch and elsewhere in the temple courts. These teachings were really the official or formal announcement of the divinity of Jesus to the Jewish people and to the whole world.
So he went along boldly, didn't he? And went ahead and taught in the normal places in the temple.
He's throwing the towel in.
He is. He's saying, "This is who I'm him, and this is why I'm here." Right? The multitudes who listened to the master's teachings were divided in their opinions. Some said he was a good man, some a prophet, some that he was truly the Messiah. Others said he was a mischievous meddler, that he was leading the people astray with his strange doctrines. Boy, they probably say that about me, don't they? His enemies hesitated to denounce him openly for fear of his friendly believers, while his friends feared to acknowledge him openly for fear of the Jewish leaders, knowing that the Sanhedrin was determined to put him to death. But even his enemies marveled at his teachings, knowing that he had not been instructed in the schools of the rabbis. So they did not consider him a certified rabbinic teacher. Okay. All right, Gary, would you take the next one?
Every time Jesus went to Jerusalem, his apostles were filled with terror. They were the more afraid as from the day to day they listened to his increasingly bold pronouncements regarding the nature of his mission on earth. They were unaccustomed to hearing Jesus make such positive claims and such amazing assertions, even when preaching among his friends.
So he was not bashful about what he was teaching, was he?
Oh,
Yeah. Okay, Pam, would you take the next one?
no. Number two, the first temple talk. The first afternoon that Jesus taught in the temple, a considerable company sat listening to his words, depicting the liberty of the new gospel and the joy of those who believe the good news. When a curious listener interrupted him to ask, "Teacher, how is it that you can quote the scriptures and teach the people so fluently when I am told that you are untaught in the learning of the rabbis?" Jesus replied, "No man has taught me the truths which I declare to you, and this teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man really desires to do my Father's will, he shall certainly know about my teaching, whether it be God's or whether I speak for myself. He who speaks for himself seeks his own glory, but when I declare the words of the Father, I thereby seek the glory of him who sent me. But before you try to enter into the mo into the new light, should you not rather follow the light you already have? Moses gave you the law, yet how many of you honestly seek to fulfill its demands? Moses in this law enjoins you, saying, 'You shall not kill.' Notwithstanding this command, some of you seek to kill the Son of Man."
Yeah, I mean, he's putting it right on the line, is he
Yeah,
not? I
yeah.
mean, he's saying, you're trying to learn some new laws when you don't even adhere to the ones you've already been taught. And the ones you've been taught is you don't kill people, and that's what you're trying to do to me. All right, Diane, can you read that, dear? Okay.
When
When
the
the crowd
crowd
heard
heard these
these words,
words, they fell to the wrangling among themselves. Some said he was mad, some that he had a devil. Others said this was indeed the prophet of Galilee, whom the scribes and Pharisees had long sought to kill. Some said the religious authorities were afraid to molest him. Others thought that they laid not hands upon him because they had become believers in him. After considerable debate, one of the crowd stepped forward and asked Jesus, Why do the rulers seek to kill you?" And he replied, "The rulers seek to kill me because they resent my teaching about the good news of the kingdom, a gospel that sets men free from the burdensome traditions of a formal religion of ceremony, which these teachers are determined to uphold at any cost. They circumcise in accordance with the law on the Sabbath day, but they would kill me because I once on the Sabbath day set free a man held in the bondage of affliction. They follow after me on the Sabbath to spy on me, but would kill me because on another occasion I chose to make a grievously stricken man completely whole on the Sabbath day. They seek to kill me because they well know that if you honestly believe and dare to accept my teaching, Their system of traditional religion will be overthrown, forever destroyed. Thus will they be deprived of authority over that to which devoted their lives, since they've steadfastly refused to accept the new and more glorious gospel of the kingdom of God. And now do I appeal to every one of you, judge not accordingly to outward appearances, but rather judge by the true spirit of these teachings. Judge religiously, righteously, righteously.
Okay, so he knew that if they adopted what he was teaching them, then the Jewish faith as it was would fall apart because then the people would no longer give all their money to the temple and that sort of thing. So all these religious leaders in the temple would go broke. And that's what it was all about, right? Now, I want to
Roger.
give you a concept of today, how this still works. Okay, we have all these mega churches now that are telling people to send them money constantly, and they know that if they stop receiving the money from the congregations, then their church will fall apart because they've got expenses that are astronomical. You know, when you build a church that is so big, it holds 40,000 people. Then it's expensive to keep that church running. So they have to have that money coming in constantly. So compare that to the same thing Jesus is saying here, right? That, if they don't do what that they want them to do, then their church, their temple will fall apart. And that's the same way with the big mega churches today. And what's happening to them? Yeah, it's all about money, and they're falling off one at a time, aren't they? Because people are becoming or waking up and seeing that their goal was not religion. Their goal was not to uplift the world. Their goal was to make tons and tons of money. Okay, so that's where we are today. So we can see how this works even in our society. All right. Stephanie, would you take the
Roger,
next? Yeah.
could you say what we're doing here now is more in line with what Jesus has proposed?
Yes, I did. I would. Because what we're doing is we're taking a revelation, the fifth epical revelation of God to man, and we're making it known. Okay? And in doing that, you can't expect tons and tons of things to happen. And I'm guilty of this myself. We've been out there for 14 years on YouTube, and I have still not got, but the thing that pushes out the videos, they don't push out our videos,
Of
y'all.
course not.
They really don't. And it's the same position we have now that they had back then, is the fact that because our information is a revelation in the truth of God, they're not going to push it very much. And that's why we don't have that many followers, that many subscribers, and that sort of thing, even though we have over 4,000 videos. Okay. And it's a hard pill to swallow. And it's affected my psyche in many ways, thinking I wasn't doing the work of God, but I've still kept with it. Y'all have noticed. And it's still hard to do because people, if you're not getting that message out there, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, am I serving God properly? I don't know. You see what I'm saying? So I just keep doing it, and we're going to keep doing it till we finish this book all the way through. And the other stuff I put out there are from the books that I've written, but everything in the books I've written is about the Urantia book. It's about nothing else. Okay, so we have tried to spread the gospel the only way that I know how, anyway, and it's still not popular. I keep asking people to subscribe and that sort of thing, and I feel like I'm begging people to do that. I don't ask people for money and all that stuff. I put a link for support and stuff, but we don't collect money in this group. I got news for y'all. Just doesn't happen. Never have. So we just do what we have to do, but you have to keep on doing what you think is the correct thing to do, and the correct thing to do is to spread this gospel from this book the best way we know how. And that's what we do, right? And we've been doing it a long time. I am actually more surprised how y'all have stuck with us so many years. You don't know how much I love and appreciate y'all coming each time and supporting what we're doing, because I know there's better, but not better things. I know there's a lot of things out there you could be doing and watching TV and taking care of kids and all these other things. But to come and spend an hour 2 times a week, it's hard. I know it's hard. And I appreciate it. Don't think I don't know the commitment it takes to do this. All right. Now I've lost my place. Who is next? Actually, we're at 6:54. We probably ought to, let me look here. You probably ought to cut that off right there. Yeah, let's cut it out. This is probably as good place as any, and we'll take this up next time right here. Let's swap out to the prayer of acceptance here.
Can I ask you a question, Roger?
Yeah, go
Who
right ahead.
said it last week?
I'm pretty sure I did.
I think Stephanie did. That's right.
Okay.
She did.
I'll put
Yeah.
Stephanie down because Rodney, I think, did it before.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. So that makes who up?
I'm just looking. Diane.
Okay. Diane, would you say this prayer of acceptance tonight?
Joy talked to.
Okay. Prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By the same faith, I became a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universe of Nebedrom, as Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Jesus, Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
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 You're muted. Roger, you're muted.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just saying thanks everyone for coming. Thanks all those that stuck around and saw both parts of tonight's video, both the 161 and 162 here, I guess it is. We worked on tonight, and we'll get going on this one again next time. The Feast of the Tabernacles again. It's a good lesson, isn't it? I mean, just such good stuff in it.
That is.
Yeah. So we will see everybody next time on Thursday, and y'all have a blessed day. That's all I
Have
can
you
say.
heard from Andrew?
Yeah, I talked to him. I talked to him yesterday. We spent a pretty long time talking on the phone, answering questions and stuff. He's going to try to come on Thursdays. He's pretty busy on Tuesdays, so he's going to try to join us on Thursdays. So. All right. And so we'll see y'all then. All
Thursday.
right.
Take care. Thank you, Roger.
You're
Thank you
welcome.
very much.
Love
All
you.
right.
Thank you. See
Too.
y'all next time.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.